chat. Live healthy, live whole, live it in destiny. Loving you, Dr. Gina. Mind, body, and soul. Talk about what's on your heart. Be free, encouraging, creatively. She does it all. Loving Dr. Gina. Dr. Gina's Radio Chat.
Well, howdy doody, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to Dr. Gina's Radio Chat. Oh, my God. My voice, you guys, last night, I don't know what happened. My voice was taken, but I claim it back in the name of Yeshua. Anyway, so I'm a little raspy today, but I'm so excited, as always, to be joining you today on this wonderful Wednesday, August the 20th. What is today's date? The 22nd. Yeah, I was right. The 22nd. I mean, the time is flying by. It just turned August, didn't it? How did we get to the end of August already? One more week left, and then it's going to be September, you guys. What's happening? What are we rushing for, Lord? Anyway, I am so excited about today's show because it is going to be so historical and so just special. We're celebrating the Queen of Soul, Aretha Franklin, today. This is all about Aretha Franklin today. Just her and memories and style and music. We're just going all in, okay? So I'm just so excited to be a part of Detroit today. I am honored. We have some Detroit guests that's going to be joining us today. So I'm super excited to say that Dr. Pastor Spencer T. Ellis from the Citadel of Praise, Detroit, Michigan, straight from my hometown. We went to the same church together. His daddy was the bishop of Greater Grace Temple way back, the first Greater Grace Temple. So I'm excited to have him joining us today to share memories. We're going to share some memories about her being at the Queen of Soul, Aretha Franklin, being at our church. And then he's going to share some stories that he has. And then we got Foodie from 92.3 FM. Detroit holds it down every week. He's going to be joining us and sharing memories with us about that cruising foodie. And of course, you know, my co-host Gina G is going to be coming, bringing the tea and the trending tea and what she say. And also we got Shanice. She's going to be coming in, bringing us the style tips from the Chic Shack today. So I'm very excited about all of that today. This is going to be an amazing, amazing show today. All about Aretha. We're going to go back down memory lane with her and just enjoy the time that she was here with us. All right, well, I'm going to give you the weather right now. We have right now it's 79 degrees in DC. Our high is going to be 84 degrees. No rain today. It showered yesterday. I'm talking about floods and all. It was something. Today in Detroit, you are cloudy right now and you are 66 degrees. That sounds like cold to me. Your high is going to be 74. You guys are so true to your temperatures, your seasons. Rather, you are so true to them. When it's almost fall, you can tell that it's going on fall in Michigan. Richmond, Virginia, you are 83 degrees right now, partly cloudy, and you are expecting thunderstorms. Your high is 84 degrees. I want to get some people that I don't talk about much, which I love you anyway. Atlanta, you are 77 degrees, and you're mostly sunny right now. Your high is going to be 84 degrees. Augusta, Georgia, hey, Augusta, 84 degrees and sunny right now. You're going to be a whopping high of 90 degrees. Columbia, South Carolina, I'm going to see you, Columbia, South Carolina. The end of September, the 29th, I'll have more details on that. I'm so excited about joining you guys for this function. It's going to be amazing. I'm going to share that with you as soon as I get all the details. You will be the first to know about it all right here on Dr. Gina's Radio Chat. Columbia, South Carolina, you are 84 degrees right now, and your high is going to be 89. Fayetteville, North Carolina, 82, and your high is going to be, you're cloudy now, but you're going to be partly cloudy this evening, and your high is going to be 87 degrees. I got love for you guys. If I did not mention your city or state or country, know that I just love you anyhow. And today is going to be an amazing day. You know why? Because this is the day that the Lord has made. He loves you and I love you too. So it's going to be amazing anyhow. No matter what you're going through, God is still in control. All right. I just want to go to a ministerial minute. And I just want to encourage some people right now. I know that this is a season of school, starting back to school and all of that. Oh, my goodness. One minute we can't wait to get them home, and the next minute we can't wait to get them back to school. But I just want to say that for me, I just want to be a little transparent and hopefully just encourage somebody. You know, me being a single mom is just me and my son. And I just adore him. I love him so much. He is such an extreme blessing to me from Father. He has just been such a delight and such a pleasure just to be in his company, see him smile, see him achieve, see him succeed. It's just been amazing. See him triumph, see him, you know, when he makes mistakes, get back up, take ownership and, you know, repent, apologize and get it better every time. I am just so in awe of what a blessing he is. And I say that to say that I had a conversation with my mom the other day, and actually yesterday, and we were talking about how fast kids grow. And this is my son's last year in middle school. He's in eighth grade, 13 years old. And it's just been quite a journey. It's been quick. So say the time is going by so fast. So we have this year, and then we have his first year of high school, which is next year, and then 4 years of that high school, and then he'll be gone to college, you guys. And I'm sitting up thinking, like, gosh, you know, the time went by so fast. I remember saying to God, you know, I really just want to treasure every moment, you know, just from the beginning and forever. You know, I want to treasure his first steps, him crawling, his first words, you know, his first time holding a utensil, first time, you know, just a complete sentence. From potty training, all of that. I just wanted to embrace every single moment, every moment. And it's just been so quick, and it's just been so joyful to see him just grow and things like that. It's gone by so fast. So I already know that 13 years went by fast. I'm already, you know, prepared for these last 5 years of him being in my home and before he goes into being an adult. I'm sure that that's going to go fast. But this is what I have to say to you, those that may be dealing with first time in kindergarten, first time in first grade, first time going into middle school, first time going into high school, first time going into college. I've experienced, you know, at least three of those. Elementary, first grade, and because I homeschooled them, and middle school, I've experienced that. And it's not easy. It's very challenging. It's another chapter moving forward. And some of us don't really like change as it is. And so I just want to encourage you that you're not alone. It is somebody's first somewhere around the world, if not even just next door to you, or maybe a coworker, and you're not alone. But just know that God has them. You know, you pray over them, you trust God with them. And I know you might be saying, well, it's not that, it's just that I'm not ready, you know, for an empty nest. You know, this is a good time, I would say, because it's going to happen. This is a good time, because you don't want to smother them. You don't want to hold them back. You want them to flourish and have experience and exposure and things like that. You want to trust that God has prepared them, and that you are ready for and they are ready for what you have ready for them. So I just want to encourage you that this is a time that you have to know that God is truly in control, that he is in control, and that he is working it out for you. So like, they have something to do, you have something to do. That's why it's a time frame. That's why it's a time frame. You know, if it wasn't college, they'd get married and start their family. That's why it's a time frame. And so this is a good time for you to seek God and ask him, what is it that you would have me to do? What is this part of my next journey? And allow him while you're going through this transition. Don't wait till the last minute, but go ahead and go forth in the transition, asking him what's next for me so he can prepare you. And it'll be an easy transition. You will be more equipped to give them the support, your children, the support that they need, as well as being strengthened to go forth with what God wants you to do for his kingdom. Okay. So I just want you to be encouraged by that and know that it's not over. It's new beginnings. It's new beginnings. That's all I have to say about that. But we're going to take a commercial break, and then we're going to hear from the Queen of Soul herself and one of her most, oh my God, songs, most popular song, Respect. We'll be right back after the commercial break and after we hear Respect. And then we're going to just enjoy this whole time on Dr. Gina's Radio Chat. All right, we'll be right back.
Freedom and deliverance are available to you in Born Into Sin, Transformed Into Destiny by Dr. Gina R. Prince.
One woman's story is everyone's struggle in Born Into Sin, Transformed Into Destiny. Available now at drginaprince.com.
The Keys Against the Enemy is a 90-day spiritual devotional boot camp. The keys is authority. In Matthew 16, 19, Jesus tells Peter that he's given the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and that whatever he binds on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever he loosed on earth will be loosed in heaven. So the keys actually is power and authority, the heavens that God has given us, that we could do the same thing. The keys against the enemy is literally the maturity through the years that God has really developed me into a prayer warrior. I want you to feel empowered. I just want you to know that you are a warrior, that you are an overcomer, a victor. I want you to know that you have all authority against the enemy and all of his wiles and all of his tactics. You can go on thekeysagainsttheenemy.com. So many things that's going on with the Keys Against the Enemy. Go purchase your book and find out whatever's going on with the Keys Against the Enemy.
Love drive your leadership. God does. In his new book, Love Leads, Dr. Steve Green teaches you how to love as a leader. Love Leads is now available on Amazon or anywhere books are sold. Get your copy today to make the difference you've been praying for.
Hello, beautiful people. You can find my music on iTunes and all digital outlets. And I'd love to get connected with you via social media. My name is Aaliyah Hall, A-L-I-Y-A-H-A-L-L. And you can find me on AaliyahHall.com as well. And you're listening to Dr. Gina's Radio Chat.
Listen, I know everybody around the world. That's why I wanted to play this song first, because I know everybody around the world knows this song, okay? So you guys over in London, you got guys over in Laos, everywhere around the world, I know you guys know this song. So let's just celebrate Aretha today, okay? Listen, right now, our first guest, we have Dr. Pastor Spencer T. Ellis on here, straight out from Detroit, Michigan, the Citadel of Praise, joining us right now. Hi, Pastor Ellis.
God bless you all. I am just honored to be part of the show and celebrating the Queen of Soul.
No, man, you are in Detroit. What is the energy right now? Well, especially through the gospel industry.
The world has lost a celebrity, but in Detroit, we have lost a family member. So yes, we're celebrating, but we're celebrating with a smile on our face, but with tears in our eyes, because Aretha, even though she was larger than life to the world, honestly, she was a family member to us. I mean, here in Detroit, we all had a piece of Aretha Franklin, because as she got bigger in life. She never left Detroit. I mean, she was around Detroit. You can walk in the store, see Aretha, walk in the beauty shop and see Aretha Franklin. And then when you saw her, she just made you feel like, hey, I'm just part of the family in Detroit. What's up? How you doing? Not standoffish, not around 200 bodyguards, you know, and that's how she made you feel. I mean, to everybody in Detroit. So, yeah, we smile, if that makes sense. We got a smile on our face with tears in our eyes because she's a family member. Yes, she was a celebrity, but she touched all of our hearts. And then personally, she was definitely, I was definitely close with her family without getting lengthy. Her and my dad, the late Bishop David Ellis, go way back. Aretha Franklin and my dad, Bishop David Ellis, were very close. She lived down the street from us growing up by the Detroit golf course. And she would often, just come by the church on a Sunday evening or a Sunday morning just to visit. And, of course, when she visits, you know, she always had to sing and was just never caught up in anything. And one thing I love about it, you know, I grew up in a good apostolic Pentecostal type church, and she grew up in a good Baptist church. But that didn't matter because Aretha Franklin, as her daddy say, Reverend Cecil Franklin, she was just a stone singer. And I just remember, I think 2 years before my dad passed, she showed up on the New Year's Eve, you know, the big watch night service, as we used to call them, in the Pentecostal church, that December 31st, big church night. And I think 2 years before she passed, she just showed up that night and sang us happy. And then she sang again when my dad passed in 96. She was part of his funeral and sang at his funeral. Because of that relationship, my brother, Bishop Charles Ellis, we are recipients of having a relationship with Aretha Franklin. She sold finances into our church a couple times. My church is only Citadel of Praise here in Detroit, Michigan. We're only 13 years old. I started this church. And just to have a relationship with Aretha Franklin, she sold twice, just had her people drop off a check of $5,000 because of the relationship she had with my dad. So, man, I have nothing but great things to say. And just because she said, I want to be a blessing to your ministry. She never stepped foot in my ministry. I regret that. I wish I could have gotten the same one Sunday at the Citadel of Praise. Unfortunately, I don't have that testimony. But for somebody who just thinks well of you, who never really have a personal relationship with, but respects enough of your ministry to stop and to sow a seed, man, into our church here at the Citadel, I only can tell. I mean, I can tell you the time she called me. I don't know how she got my cell number. Maybe she called the church office. And the first time she called, I missed her number. And to this day, that was years ago, maybe about 5 years ago. I wish I would have saved that voicemail message because I actually missed the call. And she was like, Bishop Ellis, called me Bishop Ellis. I'm not a bishop, but Bishop Ellis, this is Aretha Franklin. And I just love, I came on TV locally here in Detroit. So she would say, I love watching your sermon. She said, you're a good preacher and you're so funny. And I just love watching you and just wanted to be going to sow into your ministry. And, man, you're talking about somebody that got tears in their eyes just hearing a voicemail from Aretha Franklin. And I was like, oh, my God. So Aretha Franklin, again, I have, you know, again, just personal relationship with us, with the Ellis family, and she's just going to be tremendously, tremendously missed. And again, I'll just say it again, as large as she was in life, when you knew her, she was just a personal home girl, if I can use that term, and here in the city of Detroit.
I know, and I just remember the days when she used to come and visit us at Greater Grace Temple when Bishop was alive, and it was just, I mean, it was just a moment. I mean, and it's just sometimes we wouldn't know, sometimes we would know, depending on who was in the choir. So we used to get all the inside scoop because, you know, of course, they would kind of know something.
Absolutely. And if you remember, sometimes I don't think nobody knew. I think she would just be passing the church and said, I had to stop by and see my preacher, Bishop David Ellis. And again, that's just a relationship. And, you know, and he just always called her, come on, Rita, you're going to have to come sing something. And she just comes saying something. And she could take something and mix it with the choir with no rehearsal, and the church would be tore up.
I'm telling you, I just will never, ever forget it. I always had a great time whenever she came by, and it was just such a memorable moment each and every time. And you know, we were there because my grandmother was in the choir, my mother was in the choir, so
Absolutely.
we was all every night that we had a service, we was there. So it was just always amazing and such a surprise when she would come. So now you said that you have a message for her. Let us know, because we've been hearing through syndicated radios station all over the nation about the funeral. Is the funeral actually at Charles Ellis Church?
Is that my brother's church, Bishop Charles Ellis, Greater Grace Temple, the church we grew up at, on 7 Mile and Telegraph. It is a private service. Now, I'm not exactly sure who gets the invitation and who gets invited. The church seats over there 4,000. And, of course, I think a million people are going to be trying to come see Aretha Franklin. But that funeral on the 31st at 10 o'clock will be private. Now, what they're doing here in Detroit, as you may have heard, they're having 3 days of visitation beginning on Monday, I think Monday and Tuesday. Monday and Tuesday at the Detroit African American Museum. And then at the church where she grew up, at New Bethel, there'll be a day at New Bethel. Where she'll be, a visitation to be there, so those who can't get downtown can go by New Bethel, which is like in the midsection of Detroit, as we call it. So I'm sure those lines will be long all day, but it'll be like from what? I think they said from like 9 to 9 at the museum and from like 9 to 4 at the church. And I guess I can understand them having to make the funeral maybe private, even though the church seats 4,000. 4,000 with a million people trying to come probably won't mean a lot, you know. So that'd be the public opportunity to come pay their respects would be at the museum or at a Dash church. And again, the funeral will be private for families and friends, as they say.
Well, thank you so much, Pastor T. Spencer, T. Ellis, the Ellis family, and just everything. I'm so glad that you were able to join us and be able to share some of your memorable moments. Gina G, this is Spencer T. Ellis. Do you have something you want to say to him? What'd you say, Pastor Ellis?
I was just congratulating you on the great things that you're doing. I'm glad to know you from our childhood, and may I congratulate on the great things God is doing in your life.
I appreciate that always. You know, we go way back, Gina G.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, we go. I helped raise Gina.
He is not that much older than me.
Okay, I'm sorry. That might be over-exaggeration. I had to throw that in.
Yes. So was there something you wanted to ask? Gina, was there something you wanted to ask him?
Sure. I definitely want to ask. As a church, Aretha Franklin, you know, from her being from gospel music to moving over, I don't want to say secular music, because to me, Aretha always brought church to every song. So even if it was a Say a Little Prayer for You, some people would think that's a secular song, but it seems like she brought church to all of her music. Do you agree? Is that something that, you know, the church was supportive, you know, of her, supportive with her of?
Absolutely. I just believe the reason why we were kind of wrapped our arms around Aretha, her songs always had that message from the R-E-S-P-E-C-T and, you know, and From a Rose to Still a Rose, and We Ride on the Freeway of Love. It's always had a message, and it was a positive message, unlike, and I don't want to throw off on our music today, but I have a 17-year-old daughter and a 13-year-old son. I don't know what they
Jesus.
Listen to. Stuff they listen to, man. I go in their room, I had to plead the blood and throw oil and stuff, because that is, you know, their music is degrading women and talking about women. But her message, it was always positive.
It was positive.
It was always lifting you up, whether it was just a woman or lifting you up because you're black, or just lifting you up. So that was easy to embrace, instead of some of the, again, not throwing off on the music now, but some of the stuff we hear now is like, for what?
Right.
Well,
it makes sense.
Well, thank you so much. Now, Pastor Ellis, where can they, people that want to visit your church, or people that want to sow into the ministry or see you on TV, give us the information. Give us the lowdown of where you're at.
We are, if you go to Citadel of Praise, CITADEL of Praise.org, We have a very inclusive website that, man, includes everything from streaming services live, from the time of our services, to how to reach us. We also on social media, Facebook, Citadel of Praise, Citadel of Praise on Twitter, and Citadel underscore Detroit on Instagram. And, man, I'll be just reach out and say what's up and say hello to us and keep us in prayer.
Absolutely. Well, you know, you're a friend of the family, so you're always welcome to join us right here on Dr. Gina's Radio Chat. If you got something going on, you're going somewhere global, just let us know and come join the show.
Thank you. Absolutely. You all have a blessed day, and thank you again for having me.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
All right, so next we got Cruising Foodie going to be joining us from 92.3 FM. But right before that, we got to play one more song by Aretha Franklin. We'll be right back.
Change, change, change. Change, change, change.
All right, all right. Now, see, that's another hit, Gina G. You know that, right?
Another hit. You know I was over here doing the twist and the mashed potato. I had it.
I know, right? Well, listen, Cruising Foodie, we got to have, because this one right here, he know that he know that he know. The ins, the outs, and all of that. So welcome to Dr. Gina's Radio Chat. Radio Chat, Dr. Gina's Radio Chat.
Radio Chat.
Cruising Foodie, how you doing?
I'm good, Dr. Gina. How are you this morning?
We are fantastic. Me and Gina G just sitting up here dancing and grooving to the Queen of Soul. And we're just playing some of her hits. And just to have you and Pastor Spencer T. Ellis join us, because you know the funeral, you know what a funeral going to be. So he, one of them had to come on.
Well, I'll update you on that. I heard Pastor Ellis give you some information, but I can update you
okay.
on the information that he gave you. And, of course, you know, we're all family. My sister's is members and associated bishops of his church, Citadel, and we also grew up with the Ellis's just as you did. So we're all one big happy family.
Wow. And you know, it's so many memories that so many people have with her, and you being in radio and for years being in radio, doing everything from hosting to everything. I mean, you had a personal relationship with her in the industry aspect of it all. Can you tell us a little bit about that and just maybe a funny story or two you want to share?
Yeah, well, we can, you know, it goes back. It spans over 30 plus years. With Aretha and I, but it goes beyond that because her dad, Reverend C.L. Franklin, and the pastor of my mom's church, of course, Reverend C.L. Franklin, New Bethel, and my mom's church, Greater Macedonia Baptist Church, our pastor was H.H. Coleman. They were close confidants. They were very close friends. And during the anniversaries of each church, Reverend Franklin would come over to our church, Greater Macedonia, and preach the anniversary services. Then he would bring Aretha to sing, and vice versa. Reverend Coleman would go over to New Bethel and deliver the services. However, I was in conversation with my mom over the weekend, and she reminded me of that. And I said, well, I don't remember that. She said, you wouldn't remember that. You were much too young. So that's the history with the Franklin family, my family, and of course I grew up in music and gospel with my mom and her sisters. They were called the Willis sisters, along with Reverend Franklin and Aretha, Carolyn Franklin, Irma Franklin, and of course we can't leave Cecil out. And it was just one big family. And it was even before the Winers was known as the Winers. I think correctly they were known as the Meditation Singers. You're from Detroit, Dr. Gina. You remember all of that. Hopefully you do. But we would go, you know, they would go from, you know, church to church. But later on, you know, as we moved forward, I was at a concert event with Aretha, and Cecil, we were in conversation, and I told Cecil about all what I just said to you. And he said, does Aretha know that? Do you know Aretha? I said, you know, I never met Aretha, you know? He said, come on, let me take you in to meet Aretha. So he took me to Aretha's dressing room, introduced me to Aretha. Fast forward a year or two later, I'm at the station. A call comes through the station. Everybody was elated because guess who was on the line? It was Aretha. They say, Aretha Franklin wants to talk to you, you know? So that started, as I kindled, a really great friendship. Really great friendship. And I just got to tell you, you know, one of the most gracious, kindest, humble, you know, despite some of the things that you heard, I mean, giving, you can, when it comes to giving, you know, you couldn't beat Aretha. Every year for the last 20 plus years I've hosted her Christmas celebration, she called them soirees, and her summer parties at her house, in her backyard, and so on and so forth. And she's helped a lot of artists that kind of fell from grace, so to speak, if I can use that word, no longer were in demand. But Aretha would book them for her parties.
Wow. You know,
she would book them for her parties, and she made them feel that they were still relevant in the business, at least in the eyesight of Aretha Franklin. So I just want to say
that's awesome.
You know, you could not, and as a matter of fact, I think I sent you a photo of Aretha and I at one of her soirees. We was having conversation of the guests. She was the first one to bring the Housewives of Atlanta there in Detroit and introduce them to Detroit, the whole cast. You know, she introduced Fantasia at that same event that I sent you the picture with. So, you know, we got a lot of memories with Aretha. I will share with you, you know, with the both of you, one thing that really stood out to me. There's two, but one that was really funny. She called me up one day and she says, Foodie, Aretha. I said, how you doing, Aretha? She said, I'm just fine. She said, oh, I just got through cooking. You need to come by and get some of this. So I said to her, okay, well, if you tell me where you are, I'll come. So she gave me the address, the directions to where she lived. So in my travels, I got there. I turned on the street that she told me to turn on, and I went to the end of the block. And then I stopped because there was a house to the right, there was a house to the left. These were humongous houses. So then I called. I said, I don't know if I'm in the right place, but I'm here. I said, I see a house to the right, and I see a house to the left. And I said, I see these little, I guess it's a turnaround or something like that. She said, oh, no. She said, keep straight up that road. I'm at the top of the hill. I'm at the very top of the hill. And when I got to the top of the hill, sure enough, I mean, I was just mesmerized. I mean, God knows I was mesmerized to see the house. She showed me her tennis court. She showed me her swimming pool. And her swimming pool, you know the design of her swimming pool?
Uh-huh.
Can either one of you guess?
I cannot.
You cannot? It was a
guess who designed her swimming pool? You did?
No, I didn't design it. No, I'm just saying the shape of her swimming pool was the design of a crown.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, it was just, I mean, you know, so, you know, you had to be in her inner circle. You had to be in her inner circle. And, you know, and she had to take to do something special. She didn't trust everybody.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't trust everybody. So you had to be in her inner circle. And I just, you know, thank God I did. I said, I thank God for allowing, you know, him to put Aretha in my life's journey, you know. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, and we shared phone calls every birthday that I've had in the last 6 years. I've gotten bouquets of flowers for Christmas from Aretha. She sent them to the station. I mean, she never skipped a beat. Every Thanksgiving at New Bethel, she'd foot the bill to feed the homeless in that community at her dad's church at C.L. Franklin Boulevard in Detroit. So those are just some of the things, you know, that I experienced with her. Now, you didn't want to rile her up because she could be tough.
That's what we know.
She could be sea can be really tough. Something happened at one of the celebrations that she gave, and she went off, and everybody said, "Foodie, you need to come talk to Aretha." I said, "What is going on?" And I saw her going. I got down on my knees, grabbed her hand, put it in mine, and say, Aretha. She said to me, she said, "I don't know what they thinking. I don't know who they think they dealing with, but this is not my first time to the rodeo."
Ooh. That's what you're saying right there.
This is not my first. She said, "I don't know this." I said, "Just calm down." I said, "I know it's not your first time to the rodeo, but we don't need to get on these bulls and these horses and try to go around, you know." But I mean, that's just a couple of things. And one other thing I share is that she, as I said, she gave parties twice a year, one in the summer and one her holiday party, her soiree. She invited some of her distinguished guests, Dick Gregory. She invited Deborah Cox, and I think Keith Washington was the other entertainer. And, of course, though, she invited nothing but dignitaries and her close friends. So when I arrived to the dock, she was sitting, you know, outside of the boat. She was just sitting there. So I went in to see what the deal was and go on and so forth. And then I went back out, and I sat with her. And so I says, "Well, you know, aren't you going to get on the boat?" She shook her head, "Uh-uh." I said, "No." She said, "Uh-uh." And I didn't understand. I knew she didn't like to fly, but not getting on a boat. So Reverend Jesse Jackson was there. So finally we coaxed her into, "Come on, it'll be fine. Don't worry about it." You know, bingo. So Reverend Jackson got in front of her. I got in the rear. She's in the middle. We're going up the steps. Just as we got to the third step from the top, a big freighter had just passed the boat. And a big wave came. And that wave rocked that boat. If you ever wanted to see
her
do a holy dance. She did a holy dance on those stairs.
She was done.
And she was done. She said, "Uh-uh." And she called me. She said, "This is what I want you to go tell this guest. I pay for everything. Enjoy yourself. Eat all the food. Drink all the beverages. And have a good time. If they want to talk to me, they can come out here and talk to me. Because I'm not getting on that boat." You know? So, again, that's just, you know, just some of the things. But I just wanted to just to share the music. I heard you speak with Pastor Ellis. As far as the music, it's something about the music. It is not just about the music. I did an interview yesterday, and I said the fact is, if it's something in you, if God's put something in you, nobody can ever take it out. Aretha was truly a treasure to a songwriter and a producer, how she interpreted the lyrics of the song, you know, and how she would just reach in your chest and just pull your heart out. You know, she made you feel it, you know, and that's, you know, that emotion, that thought process, you know, she made you feel every word that she was singing, you know, and you have to understand she had perfect pitch. She had perfect pitch. So if you couldn't get around playing something that wasn't right for her because she had perfect pitch. And so I just, you know, and I experienced certain experiences with her in her concerts. Where the HB would start off, somebody would be off, the sound wouldn't be right. She'd get on the piano, and she'd give them a lecture. She said, "Now, you know that this is not right. You know, we're going to get it right." She said, "The sound's not right." She said, "These people paid too much money to see me for it to not be right." So, and she kept playing. The audience thought it was a part of the show, but she was really telling them off. Then she got to a point where she would stop, HB would stop the orchestra, and what Aretha was doing, she was giving them their keys.
Wow. But we noticed she didn't like the air conditioner because it messed with her sound, her voice, right? Is that the reason why?
Air conditioner, yeah. If you're a singer, you don't want that. You don't want air conditioner. You don't want that because that really messes up your throat. You know,
I know my throat is messed up now trying to do this show because I had the air conditioner on 68 last night and just took my voice. So I can understand if you are a songstress.
Yeah. You're breathing in you still air. You know what I'm saying? When you breathe it in, that makes your throat very raw. So, you know, she didn't like that. You know, it had to be at a certain temperature, you know, and that's it. And she was very fond of children and the youth. I mean, she really spent a lot of time with them, her grandkids, you know, and she really spent a lot of money in educating them and doing a lot of things with, you know, kids in the area. So, you know, those are just a few things. And I know you're playing the music, and that's the beautiful thing, because that is in life. You know, that's what she loved. That's what she did. That's where she found her peace, you know. And, you know, and that's what we rejoice in. And that is her eulogy. I don't care if
gosh,
I'm
Cody, I mean, we can sit on the phone with you this show all day long, honestly, because I already knew you was coming. Just full up with stories and everything. Gina, did you want to say something to Foodie?
I don't know. He has taken me through this journey. I know what her pool looks like. I know that she getting mad. Honey, I learned a lot about Aretha Franklin. And I thank you.
And you know what? That you mentioned that my mom was saying how everybody was so excited about when she got married to Bernie. How excited everybody was about that, because, you know, she had sung about heartbreaks and stuff. And as a young woman, my mother, she said it at work, they just was so excited for her wedding and that they had it at her father's church and all of that. Do you remember all of that excitement?
I remember all that excitement. Now, you know, there's more to it than that. You're going to need more shows for us to talk about that. We can't talk
So, well, you know, we might have you back on again soon.
but let me share this with you and your audience. You know, I heard Pastor Ellis give you the viewing at the Charles Wright African American Museum.
Please,
that's Tuesday. That's Tuesday the 28th and Wednesday the 29th. Okay, from 9 a.m. until 9 p.m. Okay, and she's going to be at New Bethel, her dad's church, her church, which is still is, she never left it, on the 30th. And her body would lie in state from there. They did say from 9 to 4, then they changed it from 12 to 4, but you can call the church and get the, you know, exact time. So at the Charles H. Wright Museum of African American History on Tuesday and Wednesday, and at New Bethel on Thursday, and as Pastor Ellis stated, the funeral services are private, so it's not open to the public.
Yes. So, well, I know it's going to be a star-filled extravaganza and celebration, because she was the queen of soul, and everybody loved her. So I can just imagine who all is going to be there. We might have to get a follow-up with you next, after the funeral and everything. Can you do that for us, just to give us an update on everything?
Not a problem. We can do that.
I love it. Now, tell everybody, Cruising Foodie, where they can follow you, because I know you're on internet as well. If you're not in the Michigan or in the surrounding areas, you can still tune in to Cruising Foodie and catch up. He's got celebrities coming on talking about Aretha Franklin. You had Dionne Warwick. I mean, you got folks like that. So
We did Dionne Warwick yesterday. We reached out to Stevie. And, of course, we had some of the Motown alumni, you know, with Duke for Care with the Four Tops, because they were very, very close friends. You can reach me, of course, though, Mix92.3 and Mix923FM.com. That's online. We also stream live. We're also on the iHeart Music app, because we're iHeart Media Station. And it's Sunday Night Cruising with Foodie, of course, from 7 p.m. to 12 midnight. And last Sunday, it was Aretha's night. Every record we played for 5 hours straight was Aretha.
Wow, I love it. Well, we're going to be tuning in. Okay, so we're going to set for the next time after for you to give us an update. We really want to hear from you. It was amazing, and we thank you so much for taking the time from your show and all that you're doing in the city of Detroit to join us to just update us on this show. We just thank you so much, Foodie. Appreciate you.
Well, we thank you both. Thank you for having me, and long live the life and the legacy of the queen. And I'm going to say this to you and the audience. Let us not ever forget our history, please.
Ooh, that's a sermon right there in itself. Preach. All right, Cruising Foodie. Thank you so much for that. We love you, and we can't wait till you come back. All right.
Love you,
now
man. Thank you.
Love you. You too. We're going to go ahead and transition because we have so much. I wish the show was longer, don't you, Gina?
We
say this every week.
Oh, Lord. Sky in California tells me that all the time. Y'all need more time.
Okay, well, now we're getting ready to transition because we got to get Shanice is not ready yet. So what we're going to do is we're going to move forward and we're going to go ahead and, okay, she's online. Okay. Nope. Okay, Shanice, I'm sorry, girl. We talking about the Queen of Soul. Let's go ahead and talk more about the Queen of Soul and some of the fashions and some of the tips that you have for us today. Shanice from the Chic Shack.
Hi, ladies. How are you doing today?
We're fantastic. We're talking about the Queen of Soul, girl.
Thank you for having me.
So yes, what you got for us today?
On Aretha Franklin's fashion, one thing that I do remember about her and that should last definitely for all times when it comes to her is that she was definitely a classy and elegant lady with how she treated people, with how she dressed, and just in general. So I'm excited to speak about some fashion tips that she's done before that you can incorporate into your fashion closet now.
Wow.
So one of the things that Aretha Franklin was known for was wearing oversized or just unique hats. One thing, what they did kind of reference it to back in the 60s was called a pillbox hat because they usually came in these big, elaborate boxes or just kind of depending on the size they were, but they always came in really beautiful boxes. Ways that you can incorporate that into your fashion now is still make it timeless is by adding it with like a simple, long, like a maxi wrap dress. Or for those who are a little bit more casual, you could always pair it with your favorite denim and a flowy top and some flats.
Oh. That sounds okay.
Another thing that was super popular back then, and I'm pretty sure you, a time or two she's worn these items were like the pastel suits. So we're talking about like your Easter color suits. What I like to do with those pieces, especially incorporated into like a fall or winter wardrobe, is to break them up. If you have a pastel suit that's like a, whether it's pant or a skirt suit, you could break those pieces up and wear with darker colors. Pastels go great with chocolate browns and navy blues, and those colors also help you incorporate things into your wardrobe for fall and winter. So you could always pair pastel colors with your chocolate browns and your navy blue to give it more of a warmer, wintry tone.
Okay. Sounds also, good.
Also, another thing that ladies probably just already have in their closet that's just a staple classic piece are pearls and oversized glasses. There's so much you could do with oversized glasses. They're perfect for, you know, just being fashionable, of course, blocking the sun. Or if you think of it, one way that I always thought of Aretha Franklin was she was hilarious, especially if you tend to look at clips of her online when she's speaking of other artists. People tend to call it petty, but I consider her keeping it real. So she always kept her shade glasses on, which is what I like to call them. So oversized glasses and pearls are always going to be a staple and very important for every woman to have in their collection.
I loved her furs. She wore a lot of furs, a lot of stoles. Mm-hmm. She did a lot of that.
Yes, glittery. Very classic. She kept very classic and staple pieces that we should just always have incorporated in our closet. Furs are definitely number one. Whether you do vegan furs or real furs, it's just nice to always have a long fur, or you could either do a short crop fur, which is very popular from the 60s because they always paired them with their ball gowns.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, now you hear it. You can see that we can wear these same type of styles and looks today. I mean, I know I have a couple of furs and, you know, some glittery dresses that I purchased not too long ago. And I mean, I just think that it's so classic. It's always nice to look classic, you know, and bring some of that old class, you know, back. It's timeless, really. So tell everybody where they can follow you at the Chic Shack, Shanice.
So, of course, you guys can always stop in at the Chic Shack, 1238 Street Northeast. We're located right beside the Popeyes. You could also follow us online, the_chic_shack on Instagram. You could follow myself at Vin, V-I-N, period, branded on Instagram as well.
All right. Well, thank you so much. You know, I love the Chic Shack. That's where I go get my styles and fashion and tips and all. And they're just a regular on here every month. If you're just joining us to celebrate Aretha Franklin, know that you're hearing straight from the Chic Shack, which is right here in D.C. I love them, so I know you would love them, too. They do ship orders and everything. They often have bargain deals, so you definitely want to check them out. All right. Thank you so much, Shanice. And please tell Domencia we give her our love, and we can't wait till you come back.
I definitely will. Thank you, ladies, and you have a great day.
All right. You too. Okay, well, we got a surprise, but we got to play one more song by Aretha Franklin that everybody knows, and then we got Pastor Jay Moss is going to tell us exactly his memory of Aretha Franklin. We'll be right back.
Hey, everybody, this is Jay Moss. Thank you, Dr. Prince, so much for having me. This message definitely brings one of a bittersweet one. And, of course, I'm always ecstatic about being able to speak positively on anybody that was an icon with the magnitude and the clout and the impact and the reach as Miss Aretha Franklin. She was absolutely the best. I don't think anybody embodied self-confidence more than her. And I don't mean that in a shady or derogatory type of way. We have a great story, and it was so funny this past Sunday at our church, Living Waters Church. My partner, Paul PDA Allen, gave a great tribute to her. And it was around about the time we were working on the Waiting to Exhale soundtrack. And the funny part about Miss Aretha Franklin was you always knew when she was either close to the studio or in the studio, because we'd get a big delivery of ribs. That was one of her things, a popular restaurant here in Detroit. She loved their ribs, so she would get the ribs delivered to the studio. So that was your cue that she was either close or she was already in the building. So PDA goes on to say Babyface was producing the track. Of course, that was a huge soundtrack, and she sang it down. You know, and one thing about and what I even know about Miss Aretha Franklin is that she was the queen of one takes. You know, she came in the studio prepared. She was about her business. She didn't want to waste a whole lot of time with producers and engineers and stuff like that. So she came with it. So she sang it down one time, and we were always taught to record everything. So we always hit the record button, whether we were just joking around or goofing off or anything. So when she sang it, she nailed it. I mean, she smashed it. That's just how Aretha Franklin was. And it was great. So PDA goes on to tell us that once she finished, once she finished that particular take, she looks, you know, through the glass, and she tells super producer Babyface, she said, "I know you recorded that one, but delete it, erase it." And Babyface is like, "Erase it." And she was like, "Yeah, I'm gonna sing it for real now." And that's just how Aretha was. She was just, she exuded that confidence. She knew exactly what she was going for. She knew exactly what she wanted to do. So, of course, Babyface told the engineers, and one of them, which was my partner, Paul PDA Allen, you know, kind of like, "Yeah, we'll erase it." But, you know, Paul knew not to erase it. And Aretha looked through the glass again and was just like, "I heard that. Erase it. Delete it. I mean it." So And the funny part was that she knew what was on that take. So if you tried to run a fast one by her, she'll tell you, you know, no, that was the only one I told you to delete. I don't want that one. I want the one I told you to keep. So she goes on and she sings it again. She nails it again, even better. And so at the end of the take, the way we do it is we go back and we listen to everything, and then we find a couple little spots that we can clean up just a little bit for whatever reason. And by the time Babyface was hitting the talk back button to speak to Miss Franklin, she was already in the room eating ribs. And Babyface was like, no, I need you to finish this. And she looks back at Babyface and goes, trust me, you're going to love it. Just listen to it. You're going to love it. And of course, Babyface was angry. He was upset because he wanted to clean up these spots. And, you know, lo and behold, we all loved it. You know, and that's just how she was. We have lost a gem. But I don't like to use the term loss, because we know that her legacy will live on. And so many of us have picked up so much from her. I miss that. She rocked out to the beat of her own drum. She knew that she wasn't going to chase anybody. She knew that she wasn't going to be belittled by anybody. Miss Aretha was definitely one of a kind. When we say icon, when we say legend, when we say magnanimous talent, if that's even a word, she was all of it. And we're going to miss her. I didn't have a lot of interaction with her personally, but the times that I did come across her, she was very sweet, no nonsense type of lady. She'd give you that smile, and, you know, she'd pat you on the back if you deserved it. And, you know, it wasn't a whole lot of fraternizing. That's just who she was. She knew what she wanted. She knew what she was going for. And then when it was time to suit up, she executed it with flawless aggression, if you will. So that's my spiel. We will miss her. Thank you all so much for allowing me this time to share a little bit of my story right here from Detroit, Michigan, inside the Pajam Camp, about one of our gems and one of our jewels that we will miss forever, but yet allow her story and her glory to ring on forever. I'm Jay Moss.
Oh my God. They all said the same thing, didn't they, Gina?
Yeah, they did. They all said the same thing. It must be true. Aretha was sweet, with nothing to play with. That's what I got from everybody.
She liked her food, and she liked her, yes, you know, her queenism. She liked, yep, it all. She was, yep, she lived up to it all. This was very touching for me. How about you?
I mean, it was very touching for me as well to hear, you know, you always look at celebrities on TV, especially if you don't know them. And you wonder, you know, who are they when they're not performing? Who are they when they're not here? So to hear people, you know, that actually knew her and for them to share their stories was great. I mean, you're from Detroit. My mom's from Detroit. So it just hits close to home. And I just think it was just a wonderful day. It was a wonderful show all about Aretha.
It was all about Aretha. And I mean, it's as my mother said, you know, she was just so excited about the wedding and things like that. And then it was another, she said she remembered riding her bike on LaSalle Boulevard and pointing out this was Aretha Franklin's, you know, house, and that they were just so, like, they were celebrities, but they were so, like, supportive of Detroit and so much a part of Detroit. And they embraced and they just loved the people in Detroit. And just like Spencer, Pastor Ellis said, you know, it was nothing to see her anywhere and everywhere and to pop in on services. And so did Foodie. Cruising Foodie said that she would pop in on services. Yep. And, you know, mm-hmm, I mean, it's just, she lived her city. And I think that's so dope. I just think that was just so dope. That's stuff that we don't know. The parties, mm-hmm, that were given and how she supported artists that, you know, were not being heard anymore on the airways, or, you know, I think that was just really awesome, you know?
Yeah, it really is. It's a true testament to who she was. I mean, it's just great to know. It really is.
Yeah. Well, I know that I appreciate Shanice and the Chic Shack bringing us some styles and researching that and keeping up with that. That was so helpful. And I hope people know that, you know, everything is repeated. So some of the stuff that we're seeing now is already repeated. Aretha did it first. So I just want y'all to know that.
Yeah.
Well, listen, I know that we wanted to do some trending tea. Is there any one trending tea that you wanted to make sure that people knew before we closed out?
Before we close out, the one trending tea I'm going to discuss is, of course, it's got to be Aretha Franklin related. And I'm not sure if you got a chance to discuss it, but the Madonna, did you get a chance to discuss Madonna and her tribute
from the VMAs? Yeah.
Oh, Lord. So everybody, you know, has something to say about Madonna doing the tribute to Aretha Franklin on the VMAs. And I'm going to be honest with you. I saw it live when it happened, and I don't know if she was doing a tribute to Aretha. What she states is that of course, you know, these awards are already planned out. And then, you know, when she passed away, they asked her if she could say something about Aretha when she presented the award. So Madonna claims that that's what she was doing, that there's no way that she can do a tribute to Aretha Franklin in 1 minute, you know, but she did want to share the fact that Aretha is one of the reasons why she got started with Madonna being from Detroit, but it just kind of got blown out of proportion. Of course, you know, black people in America have something to say about letting Madonna do it because she's white and da-da-da-da. And, you know, so it just went on and on. I don't know what your opinion is about it, but my opinion about it is it did go long. She did talk about herself in majority of the speech or whatever she was trying to do. But I don't think it was anything maliciously done. I just think in the midst of it all happening and then the award shows, you know, she could got wrapped up in herself. But Madonna is a legend as well. She's no Aretha Franklin. Let me say that again. She is no
Not
Aretha
at
Franklin.
All.
But Madonna is a legend within herself. So I kind of got mixed feelings about it. What do you think about it?
Well, my feelings are is that they should have got somebody more appropriate. I love Madonna. I grew up on Madonna. They are apples and oranges. I'm just being honest. I mean, their style, their vocal skills is totally not even nowhere compared. And just for the memory's sake, it didn't have to be somebody else that was a legend. It didn't have to and it didn't matter if they were white, black. I mean, whoever can sing it, they could have been mixed. And then Mariah Carey could have got up there and sang Aretha Franklin. I don't, it didn't matter to me. It's just somebody should have done it just do. That's all. And it should have been all about, that moment should have been about her. Just like she would have wanted it to be about herself, you know, if it was her moment. And she will have a moment. Believe that. She's a MTV legend. So we already know that they're going to give her nothing but love. She done got on there and kissed the girl and took her clothes off and rolled on the floor. And Madonna done did her thing on MTV. And maybe that's why they wanted her to do it. But I just feel like it shouldn't have been about Madonna. It should have been about Aretha Franklin. And therefore, somebody should have gave a tribute that can sing the song and just give a memory of her and walked off and it just been left. It was about Aretha. It wasn't about Jennifer Hudson, or if it wasn't about whoever they would have chose. I mean, heck, it could have been a guy as long as he could have hit the notes. I wouldn't have cared. Right. As long as it was somebody that can sing, for goodness sakes. And Madonna sings, but she ain't singing. You know, there's a difference.
Yeah, she don't sing. Now that she don't do. But, you know, thank God she didn't sing. Thank God she just talked and talked and talked. But it would have been nice to have somebody come up there and sing something really nice for Aretha. But, you know, those award shows are tricky, though, Gina. You know, they had it already set up, and then Aretha passed. And so they always try to throw stuff in there. And you know what? It's not the BET Awards. It's not Black Girl. Now, watch. When Black Girls Rock comes on in the next 2 weeks, you're going to see an Aretha tribute. I'm going to let you know you're going to see it. But for MTV, I don't think it was as important to them to make it such a, you know, an Aretha tribute. I mean, they played Respect for like 2 seconds and it was over with. So I'm not really sure if Aretha was an MTV type of artist, but I know she was a world artist. And I think they could have gave her a little bit more just due, but it's not surprising. It's MTV.
Well, the Freeway. We're running on the freeway. That was the first time I seen that video was on MTV.
On MTV, yeah. See, honey, I'm telling you that times have changed.
Yeah, times have changed.
They are repeating itself back to the 30s and 40s, honey. So they made that, the MTV made that short and sweet. It was quick.
That ain't good. And so a lot of people ain't going to be watching them like that no more. Okay, but anyway, tell us what's going on with you this weekend. Any shows going on this weekend before we close out?
No shows this weekend, you guys. I'm getting settled in my new place, so no shows this weekend. But you can always keep up with what I got going on. I got something coming up in Georgia. So please continue to follow me on social media, Gina G Too Funny on Instagram and Gina G TOO Funny on Facebook. I'm on Snapchat, Gina G Too Funny. So just keep following me, my adventures, and just my journey. Y'all keep following me.
Yes, and you guys keep on going on at Gina R. Prince on Instagram and Twitter, and go on Dr. Gina's radio chat on Facebook. All right, you guys, go get the book, Born into Sin, Transformed into Destiny, and The Keys Against the Enemy. And also, don't forget to get that fitness intact, mind, body, and soul. You got to go get your health and soul fitness on myhealthandsoul.com. All right, you guys, this has been an amazing show. I got to give a big shout out and love to my producer, Doug and Dawn. I love Doug. Doug, you are always in the trenches with us. Handling the business. We love you so. Oh, yeah, like Estelle call him Pastor Doug. He be ministering over those keys and what, I don't even know what he be doing over there, but he makes it work. So we thank you so much. And also you listeners for making us one of the number one internet radio shows around the world. You guys continue to keep us growing, and we can't appreciate you more. We just love you and thank you so much. All right, you guys, I can go on. This was an amazing show.
Yes, so awesome.
I want to give a thank you to Pastor Spencer T. Ellis from the Citadel of Praise. Go follow him. He's on Instagram and Facebook. They're all on social media, Citadel of Praise in Detroit, Michigan. Also, Cruising Foodie. He is the radio personality. Been just a legend in radio. 92.3 FM. You done seen him on BET. I mean, what, TV One on one of the shows. What is it? Unsung, talking about an artist. I mean, he's just, he know everybody. He know everybody, okay? So you can check him out. And also, you gotta just check out the Chic Shack. Go check them out. Domencia is the owner, Shanice's partnership. They are awesome at the Chic Shack in D.C. Also, Jay Moss. You got to go check him out at Living Water in Detroit, Michigan. You got to check him out. And Gina G, check her out. And me, Dr. G. All right, we love you so much. So much. Until next time, live healthy, live whole, living your destiny. We love you so much. Bye-bye.